All right,
Indeed.
guys, we're here to talk about some full gear. It happened on Saturday. Things happened that I like, things happened that I didn't like, and we're going to talk about them. So, without further ado, and guys, just so you know, full gear is going to be a part of this whole episode, but if you just want to just hear the full gear recap, I'll cut it into a separate episode and throw it up on the channels. So, Brandon, take it away.
So, Full Gear 2022 took place at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. We actually did have a pre-show this time. You know, I love to talk pre-show. We had three pre-show matches. We had a 10-man tag, an AEW World Eliminator Tournament, and a singles match. We got a serious Danhausen. Love that Danhausen in the first one. We got Ricky Starks winning the Eliminator or his side of the bracket to face Ethan Page, which we'll talk about. And then we had Eddie Kingston beating Jun Akiyama in the pre-show main event in a, I thought, a fantastic match, emotional match. Eddie, a big All Japan Kings Road fan, and this was an honor for him to do it. And he even sold the pay-per-view a little bit. I think every single show, Eddie Kingston should get like 3 minutes just to sell people on the pay-per-view, because I don't think no one can sell a pay-per-view like Eddie Kingston can. So, if you guys saw the pre-show, just let me know what you guys thought. It was, you know, nothing really, anything spectacular happened, but I did enjoy Eddie Kingston. It showed how much of a connection he does have with the crowd.
I have a connection with the crowd. I have a connection with the audience. They love me.
Again, again.
They love me. Do they love me? Do we know?
Do I need
They
to
love
do
the
a poll
idea
for
of
the next
you.
show?
Oh, Katie, what'd you say?
I said, do I need to do a poll at the next show?
I think we do. You know, the next Dougway that you're at, I think we need to get a poll. Like, hey, how do you feel about that guy? Like, is he okay? Is he all right? Like, what do we know? What do we know?
What do we think?
Absolutely. But let's go into the main card because I didn't see a lick of that 0 hour stuff.
Wow. It's okay. I was.
Yeah,
Neither did I, unfortunately.
it's all
I
right.
saw a little bit of it. I was too busy being a degenerate watching college football, but
Oh, who was
we did.
playing? Who was playing?
Well, I was watching Cal Stanford, and I was watching a little bit of shout out Jim Ross, Oklahoma taking on Oklahoma State. You know,
The Sooners?
Boomer Sooner, baby. And
Boom.
Jim Ross came
Love
out
it.
to open the show, or to, I guess, close the pre-show. I forget what exactly happened,
Love
but
it.
we did get JR on the call. Him, Excalibur, and Taz did the first half. Tony Schiavone came in for relief in the second half. We don't see Jim Ross at all during Dynamite. He's now just fully on Rampage. But I thought Jim Ross did a spectacular performance, probably one of his best performance on AEW of all time, and he really put it in on this opening match with Jungle Boy taking on Luchasaurus in a steel cage match. This one goes about 18:40, one of the longer matches on the show, and Jungle Boy gets the win. Emotional, hard hitting, blood straight off the top with Jungle Boy. Christian does get involved, but he doesn't get too involved. He opens the door in a steel cage match, which shouldn't really happen. But anyways, Jungle Boy gets the win. Katie, what did you think of the match? And also just throwing out JR, because I did think he did a good job on the show and as a whole.
I mean, I'm a JR stan, so I mean, I love him. I love hearing him on commentary, and it was a very good match. I think it was a great way to open the show. And no lie, I sat there and I was like, what is happening? AEW is known to give us really good cage matches, I feel, and this one was right up there.
Philip, what did you think of this opening match,
Well,
bloody match?
that was great. Let me praise JR. You know, one of my, of course, when you anybody who does commentary, they got to look at a good old JR. Throw a tougher than a $2 steak out there every once in a while. That line dropping at Doug will soon be ready. I think this was Jungle Boy's best AEW match to date, hands
Agreed.
down. Like the charisma was there. Like he finally felt like the star on the come up, on the cusp of something, which is what they've been trying to do for the longest time. They tried that last year when that battle royal that he won when he eliminated Christian, and really this whole story started. So we got the big win here, but the real big win is when he has the match with Christian, and they finally get the dubs, and he finally gets the big dubski. Hopefully that happens at the Chase Center for AEW Revolution, because it'll be in San Francisco, and I'm going to be there.
We'll all be there.
We'll all be there.
Of course. Yeah, we'll all be there. Brian's going to be backstage. He's going to be starting a fight with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega.
Yes. Yes.
Come in and grab the dog, you know.
Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Philip. I thought this match was probably, well, definitely one of Jungle Boy's best matches. And shout out JR. He was at the forefront of calling him by Jack Perry. And I think a lot of us kind of wondered, why is he doing that? And even Jungle Boy, I think, said it too. Like, he wasn't the biggest fan of it at first, but I think it's come around and now this evolution of Jungle Boy, because he can't be a boy forever. So possibly switching out Jungle Boy and just being Jack Perry was a good idea by good old JR. And I do agree. I thought this was a fantastic opening match. Second one was...
Why can't he be a Jungle Boy forever?
Well, you know, Father Time is undefeated.
So. Shawn Michaels is still a heartbreak kid. Yeah. Matt and Nick are still Young Bucks. Come on now.
You can all, you know, even age is just a number, and you can be young forever.
Absolutely. And
honestly, I will say I really do like the Jack Perry name, because it also pays homage to his dear dad.
Absolutely. Luke Perry, one of the best. Shout out 90210.
So on the pre-show, or on last week's episode, I kind of jokingly said that maybe this was going to be the opening match, but it was close. It was a second match, and that would be the trios match of the Triángulo de la Muerte defending their trios titles against the Elite, the returning Elite. And they come back. They have Carry On, Wayward Son, as their new entrance theme of just them as a trio. And we get the crowd chanting FCM Punk. They were definitely a pro Elite crowd. Now, well, I guess we'll talk a little bit about the second match after this, but I thought this was just fantastic. Probably my favorite match of the night. This one also goes around 8:40, so similar to the first match. And the Triángulo de la Muerte gets the win with help from a hammer, as Phoenix hits Kenny with the hammer, and they retain. Then it is announced that they're going to have a best of seven series, which we had the second one on Dynamite. But just going off of the first match, Philip, what did you think of this one? I thought best match of the night for me, but it was a very flippy floppy Elite match.
I mean, the Elite, they haven't missed a step. I thought this finish was perfect. I really loved that. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that before for like a Kenny, like to counter the Wind Wing Angel. It was creative. It was innovative. It was something new, which we don't really see a lot in today's wrestling. It was just fun, man. It was just great. And a best of seven. Do we need to, I mean, the matches are going to be great. We know, but do we need to see this seven times?
I think this one's interesting because, like, every time they have a match, they go out there and try to kill each other and go 150 miles an hour all the time. And when you think of like the traditional seven best of seven series, it's like, you know, two workhorses going back and forth, grappling, and this isn't that. So I do wonder, like, we've had two matches, both of them been fantastic, but a month and a half, 2 months from now, whenever game seven is, if it goes that long, because I think it goes into January, are people going to start to be sick of that style and sick of just seeing this match over and over and over again? Right now it's not worn out, but I can see it wear out. Katie, what do you think?
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. You know, we're basically getting a World Series of Trios matches, which is exciting. I will say I loved this, the first match. It was so good. And let's talk a little bit about the long form storytelling with Pac just carrying around the hammer. Just every once in a while, you just see him with the hammer. He's like, I gotta use it. And then look at what the finisher was. Like, it was primo storytelling. I loved it.
So I don't think we're going over Dynamite beat for beat, but we did have the second match tonight. If you guys saw it or whatnot, but the Triángulo de la Muerte gets the second win as well. And this one was a little interesting because it was in Chicago, and this was not as friendly of an Elite crowd. They were chanting CM Punk, and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega were just trolling the hell. We got a GTS, we got a bite spot, we got a failed buckshot lariat. They definitely were leaning into it. We thought we were past this, especially with Kenny coming out, what, today or yesterday, saying like it's all in the past, just let's move on from it. And then they pull out this match. I thought that was interesting and kind of showed, I think, who the Elite are. CM Punk may or may not have been right about them, but I digress. You guys have any thoughts about the second match and the pettiness?
I didn't see it, but like it's the Elite. Like this is what they do. Like we know this is what they do.
And then we got on being the Elite, we have the FCM Punk chance, just no yeah. song, just right there in your face.
I mean, everybody's poking fun at it. Like Jungle Boy ate cake during the media scrum, like CM Punk did. Like everybody's poking fun at it.
CM Punk having some fun at it too. He did an MMA show and he kind of said he's a cancer in the locker room. So he's leaning into it, but I think not the best to look from the Elite in this match, but
no.
I thought the match was still, the second match that is, was still great, but I just kind of rolled my eyes at it because I'm like, okay, like you're in Chicago. I get it. You could have done like a few things, but I think making it more of a spotlight than I think it should have been, but that's them. Then we get the third match. The presumable kind of like, unfortunately, like bathroom break after the take a breath break after these two high intense matches would be Jade Cargill defending her TBS title against Nyla Rose. But Nyla Rose had the title and Jade gets the win in about 8 minutes. It was not the prettiest match in the world, but I think kind of on the Jade Cargill scale, it wasn't that bad. Obviously, the crowd wasn't like super into this match, but it just kind of shows that Jade is getting better. Give some credit to Nyla as well, but you know, nothing really too much to take away from this. Katie, what did you think?
I think that you shouldn't call women's matches bathroom breaks. That's what I think. Women's matches are good. It's not necessarily the greatest match of the night, but I mean, Jade pulled it out and Nyla showed good form. Sure, there was a little bit of some mess some here and there, but I liked it.
Philip.
Yeah. It's good. You know, shout out to Nyla and Vicky coming out with the lowrider paying homage to Latino Heat.
I did not see Marina Shafir cosplaying as a Chola, but you know, whatever. That's
it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, people, I don't know. I don't with the whole bathroom break thing. I mean, I get what people would say, like, oh, I'm not really interested in this, so I can go like to the beer line and go get some food or whatever. I get that. Like third match on the card. That's honestly, and usually the second match on the card is like where you don't want to be because it's like that's a hard spot. But the Elite in the Triangle de la Muerte, they knocked it out of the park. So really, the third slot to be in was very hard for these women to work. But right. I mean. Look, they did it. Shout out Jade. She looked great. Got her championship back. Nobody got hurt. That's all we can ask for.
Shout out to her Thundercats get up. I forget what the exact name is because I didn't watch Thundercats, but I understood what the reference was. Then we get a fatal, or sorry, not a fatal four because it's WWE. This is just a four-way match for the ROH title. Chris Jericho defending against Bryan Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, and Sammy Guevara. This one goes 21:30, the second longest match outside of the main event. And, you know, a solid match from what you would expect. You know, Jericho and Sammy working together against Claudio and Brian. Things break down a little bit, but at the end of the day, Jericho gets the win. Probably too long of a match, to be honest. You know, 20 minutes is kind of rich for this, but, you know, just solid work. And there was some good high spots and all, but, you know, it was a fine match. But I think the crowd was still trying to catch their breath after those first two matches. And, you know, they kind of popped for the moves, but I didn't feel like this had a lot of intensity behind it, Philip.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to my boy Chris Jericho retaining the Ring of Jericho championship, as he should. Another star-making performance for Sammy Guevara. He just keeps proving well, like, yeah, like he has the attitude and whatnot and how he comes across. But homie can get it done inside of that ring. He is phenomenal. I know there's already a phenomenal guy in the business, but Sammy Guevara, like he's up there. I did like the story of, you know, Jericho and Guevara working together. And then Sammy's like, yeah, you know, I kind of want this. I want one for me. You know what I'm saying? And then Danielson and Claudio turning on each other to try to get it done because Danielson's a former Ring of Honor World Champion. I don't think Claudio ever held that championship. I know he was a tag team champion in Ring of Honor, so that would have meant. But no, yeah, what am I talking about?
Chris Jericho just beat him.
Yeah, Jericho beat
him. Come on, Philip, watch the product.
I do watch the product. I've had a long. I'm going and going, like I said. But yeah, so you know, Claudio wanted it back, but it was good business by everybody. Jericho sneaks out the Dubski, and I was a fan. Not that much intensity, like you said, but. It was just with everybody just flying around and kicking each other and everything was just it worked. Katie.
I completely agree with you. I mean, it was a great, it was a fun match to watch. It felt a bit long, which knowing what the runtime was, yeah, I think they could have cut out a few minutes and it would have been fine. Yeah, Sammy just continues to show out. You were talking about phenomenal one. You could call you almost could call him stupendous Sammy or superstar Sammy. Like he's really good, and he keeps proving himself over and over again. I can't wait to see what he does.
I can't wait to see him in a Bro-Ma shirt.
Jesus Christ.
He can be the third bro. I don't know. Then we get a second women's match, but it's not the final one. We get Saraya taking on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. This one goes 12 minutes, 30 seconds. Saraya gets the win. I thought a little bit anticlimactic. It just kind of came out of nowhere, but you know, a little sloppy at points, some decent moves in there. Crowd a little ambivalent exactly where to go. And I think that plays off of the build, especially like last week where Britt cuts his fantastic babyface promo, but she still worked the heel in this match. And there still wasn't like an ending story. Like Saraya didn't give Britt respect or whatever. I don't, because maybe there's like legit heat or anything going on in that, but you know, the match was fine. It's hard to critique Saraya too much because she's been away for so long. So, you know, the match was okay in my opinion, but I thought the finish could have been a little better. I'm not saying add extra minutes to this, but maybe kind of had a better crescendo to the finish, Katie.
Yeah, I agree with you. It left a little to be desired, but you can't get too hard on it because it's been so long since Saraya's been in the ring. I agree with you. The build was kind of weird, and the finish seemed to come out of nowhere. But otherwise, I mean, I'm really happy that Saraya got the win.
Yeah, I thought they were kind of like going somewhere towards the end, and then it just kind of stopped. So I thought they were doing better at the end, but then just Saraya hits her finisher, and that was it. Philip, what do you think of the finish?
Yeah, what's the new name of the finish? I know it used to be called Rampage when she was in WWE. Do we have a new name for it?
I don't. I think Excalibur just called it by like its technical name, but I forget what it is.
Yeah. She just like kind of just hit it multiple times and ended the match. Which okay, sure.
There wasn't like good kickouts. Like everything was just kind of there, and then the finish happened.
I mean, you know, the stomp, you're like, oh my God, I know the whole neck. So I think anybody that comes back from like, I mean, we've seen it with Edge. We've seen it with Bryan Danielson. You come back from a head or a neck injury, they're going to target the neck, and that's going to be the focal point, the story going forward. That kind of wasn't really, it kind of was the case here, but kind of wasn't. Because like Saraya wasn't really selling the neck like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it was just a match. You wouldn't have really known if it was her match, first match back in whatever 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it happened. Saraya got the dub. Crowd loved her.
No one got hurt, so we can ask for.
Yeah.
Then we got a three-way match for the TNT title as on the Wikipedia. Wardlow's name is so small, kind of. I couldn't see it for a second, but Wardlow defends his title against Powerhouse Hobbs and Samoa Joe. This is a big beefy men bump and meet match. Wardlow was hitting the Powerbomb Symphony on Powerhouse Hobbs, and the crowd was getting behind him, I think, for the first time all match, where there were really like some life to them. And then Samoa Joe just kind of throws Wardlow out the way, chokes out Powerhouse Hobbs, and bam, there you go. New TNT champion. So he's a TNT and ROH television champion. So Samoa Joe owns the television. We also got a Wardlow in the wind. So Wardlow bumping out some of his high air moves, Philip.
That was dope. I loved it. And we're living in a great time. Two Samoan men named Joe have two championships in the wrestling business. What a time to be alive.
What a time.
What a time. I didn't expect Samoa Joe to win. I really thought it was going to be Powerhouse Hobbs. Maybe they're saving that for San Francisco.
You know? I did see in the graphic that Powerhouse Hobbs is there front and center for the ticket sales.
As he should be. It's my dog. Love that guy.
Surprise, no Jungle Boy, but I guess they're claiming him always being from L.A.
No, of course, of course, of course, of course, of course.
Yeah.
Katie, what are your thoughts on the three-way dance?
Oh, it was one of my favorite matches of the night. It was It was so good. And I love Samoa Joe. I'm so happy that he won. I mean, I like Wardlow. I like Powerhouse Hobbs, but I was so excited for Samoa Joe.
Shouts Mojo. Moving on, we got the no disqualification tag team match with Sting and Darby taking on Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. We got
literally forgot this was happening.
Hey, well, I told you that was going to happen. I told you this was the match on the card that you forget, and then they show the graph, and you're like, oh, all right, that match is still going on because this is, what, fourth from the top. And this is what you would expect. We got Sting and Jarrett staring off. We had a TNA chant in the Year of Our Lord 2022 at a non-impact event. And we got the Sting jumping off from high places, almost killing himself. We got Darby jumping off of high places, trying to kill himself. But at the end of the day, we get Satnam Singh getting beat up in the ring, and we get a Scorpion Death Drop into a coffin drop. Sting and Darby win.
That was a cool spot.
I'm surprised they haven't really, you know, brought that out more often, but 15 minutes or no, 11 minutes, and the baby faces get the win.
The finish, Lethal goes for Lethal injection. Sting catches him. He barely caught him, but he caught him. And then the coffin drop for a little extra stank. Thought that was cool, man. I was like, okay, I'm down. They did good business. Jared just bumping around, being Jeff Jarrett, bumping around at 50 something years old. Yeah, it is what it is. It happened. Katie.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of this match, but I mean, it was what it was. And it's like Brandon said, you know, watching them all try to kill themselves flying high, and just Jeff taking bumps, and okay.
I was pleasantly surprised by this match. I didn't have high expectations. I mean, it played out exactly how you would, but you know, just it was the only hardcore match of its kind, so it wasn't, you know, it was different, so that's what made it stand out a little bit more. Then we get the third women's match of the night, as we get Jamie Hayter taking on Toni Storm for the, at the time, interim AEW World Championship, and now retroactively it is the official AEW World Championship, because Thunder Rosa has given up. First, I guess, you know, any opinions on that, Katie, about Thunder Rosa just there's rumblings about, you know, maybe Tony Khan is the biggest fan of Thunder Rosa right now, but she is no longer an AEW champion.
You know, if he was going to make it, you know, if he was going to retroactively make it a full championship reign, then he should have done it a lot earlier, because Tony Storm deserved her flowers. So I wasn't very happy about that.
Yeah, the retroactively part was a little bit weird. I would assume there's probably something going on with Thunder that she might have said one thing, but then now it's turned out it's going to be a lot longer.
Look, I'm going to just throw it out there, bro. The interim shit shouldn't have happened.
Like, no.
No, you're either a champion or you're not. Like, stop with the interim stuff.
I'm more okay with the interim stuff.
No.
I mean, maybe just because I'm a MMA boxing person, well, more MMA, but I kind of, you know, it's a thing. It's a little weird in wrestling where you are, there's a lot more title defenses.
Look, I get it.
Now, when it comes to Thunder Rosa, that one's different because it's like long term. Like, if it was a month or two, like, fine. But if it's like over 6 months, that's where I kind of draw the line. It's like, okay, it's a little too long.
Look, I'm not a fan of the interim thing at all. If you can't defend the championship for whatever reason, you're not the champ. It's just a fact. Hold a little tournament, do a three-way dance, whatever. Winner walks out the champion, we call it a day, and we go home. Now with this match, good. It was really good, but it should have ended at a certain point. When Britt Baker hits the curb stomp on the belt outside, roll in Toni Storm, Hayter hits the finish, 1, 2, 3, we go home. She stole it, man. We could have did that. They went on for a little bit too long, and like, Toni Storm had her Johnny Gargano moment of just being super, super person and kicking out of everything.
Yep.
15 minutes is the time on this one. Jamie Hayter gets the win. She's the, at the time, interim, now official AEW Women's Champion. You know, I like the match. Once again, the crowd was kind of split on who, but I think they definitely leaned more on Jamie Hayter. But then in the match, Jamie was more the heel, and with the outside interference, kind of, you know, the crowd is not agreeing with what the story is being told in the ring. But know, Jamie Hayter, I picked her to win. And once again, you know, I probably would have been Bullet Cast champion still. I only got like two matches wrong, but of course this one's not in the line. And then, yeah, it's fine. I'm not going to complain too much, but great match from these women. And nice to see there's three women's matches on the card, and three of them, I mean, they all had stories, and they all, well, you know, the first one, I, you know, kind of said it was the catch your breath break, but I mean, I thought all three matches were pretty good. And I thought the title match kind of stood out.
Did you really just complain that your championship wasn't on the line?
Yes. Cause I'm a fighting champion. Unlike Thunder Rosa.
Whoa.
Oh.
He's a friend of the show.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the one that said she shouldn't be champion.
Well, look, the interim thing in general. Okay. Oh, I wasn't targeting her.
I mean, we're talking about her.
Well, I mean, it's in general interim, whether it's MMA, wrestling, whatever. No. You can't defend it. You're not the champ. That's just how I feel. Moving on. There was a tag title match, correct?
Yes, the penultimate match was for the AEW World Tag Titles as the Acclaimed defend against Swerve and Our Glory, Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. This one goes 19 minutes, 40 seconds. The crowd, I think, was waiting for something to happen with Lee and Swerve, and they were kind of not sitting on their hands because they still love the Acclaim. Match was good, but it wasn't as good as their other two matches, I think, just because of the crowd, and they weren't as into it as they were those first two matches. But Swerve wanted to chop off someone's fingers, and Keith Lee draws the line at mutilation. So good for Keith Lee, way to stand up for your morals, I guess. And he just walks out, and then the Acclaim beat up on Swerve.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out here right now. With the whole Dahmer series being popular right now, teasing mutilation probably isn't the best thing.
Well, I just think it's stupid in general. Like, even just the Triple H sledgehammer. Like, we know you're not going to Gallagher him. You're not going to murder anybody, so don't even tease it. It just throws out how fake it is. Are you sure? I don't like any of those types of things.
Are you sure, bro? People get murdered in wrestling.
Like who?
I had major issues with the whole, like, I'm going to mutilate their fingers thing. I didn't like that. I did not like that at all. And I'm proud of Keith Lee for sticking up for himself.
Keith.
Way to draw the line at committing, you know, a federal or, a crime on television. Way to go, Keith.
Keith, come on. Come on over, bro. Come on. Come on. Come on over to Stanford. We got a nice spot waiting for you.
Yeah, yes. Mitchin is over there waiting for him.
Yeah.
Mia Yim again, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Then in the main event, we got the AEW World title as Jon Moxley defends against MJF in his pseudo home area in New Jersey. And this one goes 23 minutes, 15 seconds. Kind of similar to the tag match. I think the crowd was waiting for the end, waiting for something to happen. They liked Moxley, really liked MJF. Kind of a weird dynamic with the crowd, but Regal comes down. Oh, we get a ref bump. Regal slides MJF the brass knucks, hits Moxley, bam, 1-2-3, new world champion MJF. Katie, I know you're the big MJF fan. So what did you think of the match? And now your boy is officially champ.
I might have scared my friends that were over. When I saw that he had won the championship, I flipped out. I was so excited. And I was like, he's finally champion. I loved the William Regal turn. I'm wondering if this means that, like, I'll be honest, I didn't see Dynamite tonight because of Thanksgiving prep. But I'm not spoiled on it, so I'm going to watch it later. Pretty excited to see where William Regal goes with this. Obviously, I'm just like, I stand super hard for MJF. So loved the match. I think Jon Moxley pulled off an amazing match himself. It was all very, very fun to watch.
Look, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. You love this game. You love to see it. MJF has just joined a special class. He, along with The Undertaker and Yokozuna, are among people who have won their first major heavyweight championship at the age of 26. That's very impressive.
Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, they did earlier, but you know, NBD.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of like an arbitrary, just
yeah. I'm doing something here.
Okay. Sorry. Wait, sorry to step on your toes.
Yeah, they'll make me send Maxwell out.
Right. Well, I don't want to hurt your toes too, because we already got hurt ankle too.
I mean, I have some of the toughest toes in the history of the business.
Do you though?
Steel toed out here. But yeah,
steel toe, Phil.
Hey now. But oh no, I'm happy for Maxwell. The Regal turn, we talked about it on the last Weeb's Bullet Cast. It happened, loved it, and the promo he cut after, like I loved it. There was like a pipe bomb line that he dropped in there from CM Punk's pipe bomb back in the day. He said, "Could you really trust the devil? Like how stupid are you guys?" I did pop for the cornet line at the end. Thank you, you bye. I did pop for that. I'm not even gonna lie. But congratulations, MJF. He's a world champion. Let him hold it until 2024, bro. I'm like, run with it. Run with it.
I would love that.
And have Eddie Kingston beat him for it at Winter's Coming.
No. Like,
no, he has it's to enter. Eddie Kingston is beating him for that championship.
No,
I don't
he
care.
Has to. It does, he can beat him for it. Who cares? He has to, like, it has to be 2024. And, like, that first Dynamite of 2024, he loses the championship. Sure. Why not?
Or he takes it to WWE.
That'd be great.
I mean, MJF is pretty much just like a CM Punk. You know, he's being CM Punk right now with the lines. I mean, he even did like the, I hope you're last week on Dynamite. He's like, Moxley, I hope you're laying there hurt, just like the opening line of the pipe bomb. So, who knows what CM Punk and AEW's affiliation is, but there's definitely a lot of CM Punk references on AEW these past couple weeks. We haven't done this in a while, but Katie, what would you give AEW? Full Gear, what is the grade?
I would give it a solid 9. I was really entertained the entire time that I watched it.
Before Philip yells at you, we do letter grades around here. I don't want Philip to
whatever. I'll give it an A minus.
Philip,
give it a B. It was cool. It was all right, you know. So could have shaved some time off of some bangs, but yeah.
It was a long show, but it wasn't like I thought agonizingly long. I think some of the other shows have been.
Yeah.
Maybe like a B minus. I think maybe the worst in crowd AEW pay per view, but that still doesn't mean it's a bad show. It's still a good show, good wrestling.
It's okay. The next pay per view, we're going to get hyphy. We're going to get lit in that B.
Yeah, at the Chase Center, 20,000 people. Still, I wonder what an A. I am very curious what an AEW Bay Area crowd is. It'll be a traveling crowd, so maybe the Palace Dynamite shows will be a better gauge. But I do wonder what a quote unquote smart AEW crowd in the Bay Area brings.